You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Every hand lifted high. Father, we thank you for your anointing, your word, your power, your grace, your mercy. We thank you that you're in this room tonight. Lord, we thank you for everything you've already accomplished this week. But we know it's not done yet. There's another impartation here and now for us. We've made up our minds we won't leave without first receiving what you have planned. So Lord, let every heart be open. Remove every obstacle, every hindrance. Let us focus our faith on you and receive what you have prepared. A blessing that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined. Let us leave tonight holding our testimonies in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank you for it. If you believe it, somebody clap those hands and shout amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Before you sit down, grab a Bible, pick it up. I'm going to keep you standing for one more moment because you'll be sitting for a few hours. No, I'm kidding. It's like my dad always says, I figure I can say what I need to say in a couple of hours. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10. I'm glad this isn't a secret sensitive church or we'd be already 10 minutes over the deadline to end the service. So I thank God. Thank God that we're Pentecostal. Amen. Somebody said one time, do you know what it means to be Pentecostal? Do you know the true meaning of what it means to be Pentecostal? And the guy answered, yes, it means you don't own a clock. That's not what it means. That's just a side benefit. Isaiah 10 and verse 27. The Bible says, in that day, somebody say this day. His burden will depart from off your shoulder and the yoke from off of your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of what? The anointing. If you read it in newer translations, other than the King James, what you'll see many times is it says, and the yoke will be broken because of the fat. The anointing means increase. The anointing brings increase. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to get to this in just a second. But what I'm getting ready to show you tonight and what we're going to do before we finish this service tonight is impart that yoke-breaking anointing to every family, to every child, every parent, grandparent, every individual, that whatever was trying to hold on to you before tonight is going to have to break loose off of you because of the extreme violent increase that God's going to put into you in Jesus' name. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the fat or because of the anointing. Lift every hand. Father, in Jesus' name, as we open your word, we thank you that every heart's open to receive it. That, Lord, every one of us would be the good ground spoken of in Mark 4. We would not be thorny ground. We're not the footpath. We're not rocky ground. We're good ground. Meaning we'll receive your word and produce fruit with it. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, remove every distraction and hindrance from this service tonight. Have your way. Interrupt our plans and institute your plans. For your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We want those. For us, do like you did for Moses. For your word declares you made known your acts to the children of Israel, but you made your ways known unto Moses. Let that be our story tonight. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory and the honor, because you're the only one worthy to give it. In Jesus' mighty name, Everybody shout aloud, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. The anointing. I'm going to preach tonight on the anointing. We started in Isaiah 10 where the Bible says the yoke has to be destroyed. Did you know the kingdom of God is made up of mysteries? The world can't understand it, but we understand it. The kingdom's made up of things that don't make sense to the natural mind. Isn't that right? If you want to go up, you got to go down. If you want to have more, you got to give it away. The kingdom's made up of mysteries. People can't understand what it means to lay your hand on a head and expect sickness to go away. What in the world can a hand on a head do for a person? It's a mystery. It's the mystery of the laying on of hands. It's something that God gave us to bring freedom to his people. Amen? People can't understand the mystery of the prayer cloth. How many have ever used or seen used a prayer cloth? Acts chapter 19, the Bible says, Paul the apostle's preaching and teaching, and many handkerchiefs and aprons were laid upon his body. And after he was finished preaching, those handkerchiefs or aprons were taken from his body and laid on those that were sick or diseased, or those who had demon spirits, and the demons had to come out and the sicknesses had to go. Something came out of his body and got into those cloths so that when they touched those who were diseased, hurting, or possessed, they had to be set free. It's a mystery. If cloth alone could do it, every one of you in this room would be free tonight because we're all wearing clothes. But it's not just cloth, it's what got in the cloth. It's not just the hands on the head, it's what got in the hands. Many people don't understand the mystery of the communion meal. I call it the miracle meal. Paul said, the reason that many of you, if you read what he wrote to the Corinthians, you know what he said? The reason many of you are sick and die early is because you don't discern the Lord's body. Communion's not just a cracker and some juice to hold you over till the pastor lets you out for the buffet. It is a miracle meal. The same, hear me, the same anointing that's in your hands to lay hands on the sick. And the same anointing that's in a prayer cloth when it's laid on the sick. The same anointing that is in our confession or our words is the same anointing that's in the communion meal. Oh, hallelujah. The same body of Christ that was broken for you. He said, as often as you eat this, do it in remembrance of me. This is my body that was broken for you. And when you eat it, that same healing power is in that representation of his body. His body that was broken, stripes were taken upon his back. And when we eat the bread, it's a representation of what he did. And do you know when you eat it, you can impart healing to your body. When we drink that juice representative of the blood that he shed on the cross, it's not just the fact that we're drinking some juice in remembrance of what Jesus did. There's power and deliverance in that. You know why? It's not in all grape juice. It's not every time you eat a sandwich. But understand, these are ordinances of the Lord. If he instituted them, they're there for a reason, and they carry power. Anytime God commands something, it carries power. He commanded us to lay hands on the sick. That means when you lay your hands on them, you can expect a result. Why? Because God commanded it. And if he commanded it, then it works because of his word. God command. We can take our example from the Bible that when those handkerchiefs, when those aprons came off Paul's body, they carried the anointing that got off of him and into them. We still do it today because it's an example we find in the inspired word of God. Oh, hallelujah. The same way Jesus commanded us that when we eat that meal, when we drink, We do it in remembrance of him. Because he commanded it, it carries his power. Do you know? Oh, hallelujah. I feel this thing tonight. The body of Christ. Can I just give you, this is not what I'm preaching on, but I want to show you how this stuff gets into your body and it begins to change things in your body. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, that Jesus coming, the coming Messiah, he would be the rod. Everybody say the rod. Say the rod. He would be the rod that would shoot out of the house of Jesse. Say it again, the rod. So I want you to say this with me. Jesus is the rod. Okay. Jesus is the rod that is the shoot out of the house of Jesse. Isaiah 11. So we know Christ is the rod that carries the authority. In the old covenant, here's a type and a shadow of this. Moses and Aaron walked into Pharaoh's court. And he said, I got a sign for them to show my power. Throw your rod on the ground. And the rod got thrown down on the court floor. And it turned into a serpent. The magician said, that ain't nothing. And they all threw their rods down. And all their rods turned into serpents. But God's rod swallowed up all the other serpents. I often wonder if when that thing turned back into a rod and he picked it up, if it was a little thicker. Hallelujah. But when the Bible says, when his rod saw those other serpents coming, it began to swallow them up one by one. Somebody say, Christ is the rod. And when you eat the communion meal, you are eating the rod from the house of Jesse. And it begins to swallow up whatever was coming against your body. If cancer cells were in there, the rod starts to swallow it up. I'm telling you, if type 2 diabetes is in there, the rod starts to swallow it up. Whatever thing that was sent by the devil as a serpent to destroy your life, when you take that communion meal by faith, the rod of Jesse swallows it up. Oh, hallelujah. It is the fire of God that gets in your body, burns up every attack of the enemy. Anything that's an ordinance of God carries the power of God. If he commanded it and we obey it, it will manifest its power in our life. That's why I'm not with these jokers in this generation. They will, tithing's not for today. If God instituted it, I'm doing it. I said, I'm doing it. If you're not a tither, you'll always be a beggar. And I'm not even the pastor. I'm not even taking up tithes and offerings. I'm just telling you, if God instituted it. So, brother, tithing was part of the law. Tell that to Abraham. He did it before the law was instituted. Tell that to Jacob. He did it before the law was instituted. Tithing was something that came from God to his men. Do you know that it was done in the Bible before it was even called a tithe? There was always something that people had that was reserved for God. I'm going to give you an example. Adam's in the garden. You can eat from any tree except these trees. He gave him everything and reserved some trees for himself. Oh my goodness. God said to Noah, take all the animals on the ark. They're under your command. They're under your authority. But when you get off the ark, take a little extra that you can't eat and you can't touch, because I need a sacrifice when you get off the ark. There's always been something reserved for God. Jesus was the atonement offering. He was not the ultimate tithe. He was not alms for the poor on the cross. That's why we don't today stop giving and blessing the poor. We still bless them today. Because Jesus didn't do away with that. He also was not the ultimate free will offering. I still give offerings today because Christ didn't do away with that. And he was not the ultimate tithe for the world. He didn't do away with that. He was the atonement offering. That's why this room ain't filled with the blood of bulls and goats and sheep. Because his blood is eternally effective to wash away every sin. Aren't you thankful you don't have to go find a spotless lamb or sheep every single month and every single year to slaughter for the sins of your household? Thank God for the eternal blood of Jesus Christ that washes away every sin. But if God commanded it, I'm going to get involved with it. Amen. Hallelujah. I could tithe before I could do math. I was raised like that. We raise our kids like that. What's 10% of a dollar? What's 10% of a dime? I make sure my kids know when you come to church, we ain't going to be cursed. We're going to be blessed. I teach them. They don't. My daughter, Brooklyn, she didn't even do math yet. She's not even in kindergarten yet. But we're teaching her what a tithe is because we honor God above everything else. I made up my mind because you know what I found out? God puts you where you put him. God puts you where you put him. I don't know. I don't even know where this is coming from. I'm not even taking an offering right now. I'm preaching. But I feel to say tonight, I would not put something into an offering basket that I'd be embarrassed to give a 15-year-old at their birthday party. Here it is, God. Just don't spend it all in one place. Hallelujah. Thanks for all the shouts. I'm just going to tell you right now, if we want to go to the next level, it's time for next level dedication. I'm going to praise until I'm praised out. I'm going to give till I can't give no more. I'm going to shout till I can't shout no more. I'm going to be obedient until there's nothing I've missed in his word. I'm going to dedicate myself to the kingdom because the Bible promised me that if I'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all this other stuff that people are dying to get, it'll be added to me. I said it'll be added to me. You know, God, let me just tell you, I'm gonna give you a little tiny examples. God cares about things you care about. Because he's a loving father, he wants to bless you just because he loves you. You know, I got two daughters and a son. If I see something at the store, we go to Walmart, and they want a little toy or something, I don't say, well, I'm gonna go back and check the records from this month if you've made your bed every single day. I'm going to check if you took out the trash and if you didn't leave a mess on the carpet. I'm going to check it all out. And then we'll come back and we'll see if you're worthy of a toy. No. I bless them because I love them. I bless them because I love them. And God cares to bless you just because he loves you. There was a little period of my life about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I really started taking a like for Air Jordan shoes. Air Jordans. Jordans. Retro Jordans. I became a sneakerhead for a short period of time. That could be an expensive hobby right there. And you know, I was in for what, like a year and a half. Before that time was over, now my wife had bought me some pairs, but people started buying me pairs. I'm not out there asking them. I didn't start a GoFundMe account. Help Evangelist Shuttlesworth get into the Jordan game. No, I don't. People started bringing them to me. Custom ones. Special releases. Special editions. And I had those bad boys sitting up in my closet. I think I had 13 or 14 pairs. Brand new. Sitting in the boxes. I can't even wear all the pairs. Just sitting up in my closet. And I was sitting in a revival service, Pastor. And I heard the Lord say, no, just as clear. I'm telling you, just as clear. I heard the Lord say, now he blessed me with all that. But he always comes to a place in your life where he tests your heart. He said to me, what are you doing with all them shoes up in your closet? I said, my God, that's the Holy Ghost blessing. Hallelujah. He said, what are you doing? He said, what are you doing with all those? You can't wear 14 pairs of shoes at one time. I said, no, I can't, but you gave me the overflow. Hallelujah. You know you get Pentecostal when you start getting a crick in your neck. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy. And I'm sitting on the front row of church, and I heard the Holy Ghost. Now, you'll know the context of this scripture if when I say it, because he spoke to me by scripture. That's what he said. What are you going to do, tear down your smaller barns and build bigger barns? Oh, my Lord, and it hit me right here. Pow. As soon as I heard that from the Lord, I text at our church here in Margate. I text one of the associate pastors. I said, I want you to get every young man in the church that wears a size 12 shoe, and when I come home on Wednesday night for the service, I want them lined up. And he said, okay, what are you doing? I said, you just have them lined up. I came in carrying 14 boxes of shoes into church. And I said, line them up. I laid out all the Jordans. I said, line them up. I said, young men, come in. Take whatever you want. Take it home. People couldn't wrap their mind around it. They thought I found them off the back of a truck. They thought they were hot shoes. Where you get those from? I had people come to me in the parking lot. I mean, literally. People keep... You got a 12. Okay. We're going to get you a pair. I had a guy come up to me. I mean, talking about... Get him a pair. Make sure you get him a pair. I had a guy come up to me. These are people that understand sowing and reaping. I had a guy walk up to me in the parking lot, wide eyes. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Because God said to do it.
That's right.
If God institutes it, if he speaks it, there's power in it. Sitting in a service, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, he said, you're wearing a watch. He said, what are you doing with all those watches?
Right, right.
I said, had a beautiful watch on that my wife had bought me for a present. A beautiful watch. And there was another evangelist in the meeting. And the Lord said, what are you doing with all those watches? He said, before this meeting is over, I want you to give that watch. Now, I was up at Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's church in Tampa, Florida. And it was in there and they were getting ready to think. And the Lord spoke to me, said, there's another evangelist here. You give it. Now, I had drove up there from here. It was like 3.5-4 hours away. Now, that watch was still sitting on my dresser at home. But I was coming home in the midweek to help Bishop Rick preach the midweek service. And I was going to drive back up for Thursday and Friday. And I said, Lord, as soon as I get home and get that watch, as soon as I get back here on Thursday night, it is going to that the evangelist. It's going in his hand. Now, I'm going to show you something. Have you ever read the scripture where Jesus said, in the old covenant, if you have committed adultery, then you've fallen into sin. But in the new covenant, if you've even committed it in your heart, you're guilty of the sin. I found out that's not just true for the negative. It's true for the positive. Because I had not yet sowed that seed. It was home on my dresser. But my heart had already said to God, it's yours. That very service, I left. And I went up just to give Dr. Rodney a hug. In his office before I left, hugged him, and out of the blue, he looked at me kind of sideways and he said, do you like watches? I said, I do. Hallelujah, I do. He said, what kind of watches do you have? And I just kind of told him what was going on. He said, stay right here. He walked into his closet and came out with a watch that was worth probably 5 times what the one I said I would sew was. He said, try this on. I tried it on my wrist. It felt good. Hallelujah. It felt real good. And I said, yeah, that's nice. I went to take it off, give it, hand it back. That's a beautiful watch, doctor. He said, no, I want you to have that. He said, put it on your wrist. You be blessed with it. You take it. Let me tell you something. I hadn't sowed the seed yet, but I'd already done it in my heart. And God knew that as soon as I got my hands on it, it was going into that man's hand. I feel like preaching tonight. So that when God institutes something and commands something, it carries power when you do it. Anything commanded by God carries power. And the kingdom's a mystery. If you want to have more, you got to give away. If you want to go up, you got to go down. It's a mystery, and the world can't understand it. And the mystery I'm getting to tonight, before I pray for you, is the mystery of the anointing oil. In the same way that the prayer cloth carries power, in the same way that laying on of hands carries power, the communion meal carries power, the covenant of tithing and offering carries power, the covenant or the command of the anointing oil carries power. 3 very specific things happen when you enter into the obedience of the anointing oil that God spoke about in his word. 3 things begin to take place. Of course, we know, in the book of James chapter 5, the Bible says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And what does the Bible say the elders will do? And they will pray the prayer of faith over them and anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. So one thing we know the anointing oil does is it brings deliverance from sickness and disease and demonic possession. The power of God does it through the anointing oil. I told y'all earlier this week, I grew up in a Pentecostal household. I'm a third generation Pentecostal preacher. I mean, to the point, I'm talking about Pentecostal, to the point where my grandfather, somebody asked him one time, A.E., what would you be if you weren't a Pentecostal preacher? He said, I'd be ashamed. And I grew up in the house. We didn't rely on health insurance in a Pentecostal house. We didn't have trips to the doctor. All my mom did, my dad did, they pulled out the Mazola oil. You know what I'm talking about? It didn't have to be some special blend that had beautiful spices and herbs that smelled like the Holy Land. It smelled like fried chicken in there. They pulled the Mazola oil out, and my dad would pour it into his hand, and pow, it would go on my forehead. I told people before I even hit puberty, I had acne all right here just from being anointed with oil. Hair that just pushed back constantly just from being hands being laid on so many times. We believed in the anointing oil. Why? Because God commanded it. He said, if there's any sick, call for the elders of the church and they will anoint you. They will pray the prayer of faith and the Lord will raise you up. My father went in one time, he was in Philadelphia, and there was a woman that came into the meeting. She said, Brother Ted, you got to come to my house. My son's dying. The doctor sent him home to die. Told us to just get hospice, to just look over him at the house, but he's about gone. And she said, I want you to come pray for him. So my dad and the pastor went over to her house, and there was a group of people from another church who had got there already, and they had everybody, all the seats in the living room were full. They had their own little mini church service going. And they were in there and the guy was preaching a message and then took an offering for who knows what reason. My dad's sitting there like, what in the world's going on here? And the sick boy, not even in the room. They did their thing, preached their message, took their offering and then left. Nobody prayed for him. My dad said, what in the world? He said, where's your son? She said, well, he's in the kitchen in a cot that the hospital gave us. Walk into the kitchen. Here's a boy laying on a cot. That's so emaciated, he looks like a skeleton with skin draped over the bones. Stage 4 cancer has eaten up his body and they sent him home to die. My dad looked down and said, he started listening. He said, you could hear the death rattle in his breathing. You could hear he's about to give up the ghost. And my dad turned to the woman and he said, do you have any oil? And she said, well, all I got's, you know, cooking oil. He said, that'll do. Took the whole bottle, unscrewed the cap, and walked over to the cot and pulled the sheet off the boy. He was a young man, probably about 19 or 20, and just began to dump the whole bottle. He wasn't looking for some little liturgical, little on the finger, make a cross and pray. No. He dumped the whole bottle. Up and down the boy's body. And I mean, he let it go over his face. The boy's spitting, trying to breathe. And commanded a spirit of cancer to come off of that boy's body. And for the healing power of God to fill that body. He said he came back there the next year to preach at the same church. He said a big old guy came in the church, big old chubby, stocky guy. He started hugging on. He said, oh, brother. So he said, quit hugging me. I'm married. He said, don't you recognize me? He said, no. He said, I was the boy with cancer that you dumped the oil on. He said, we went back and doctors said they couldn't find a trace of the cancer. The power of the Holy Ghost has to drive out cancer cells. No weapon formed against you can be allowed to prosper. Somebody shout amen. Time and time and time and time again. I can give you testimonies until midnight about the power of the anointing oil. Because God's the one that commanded it. It ain't made up by man. And it's not just about oil. Or every pasta dish from an Italian restaurant you eat would heal you. It's the command of God. I'm not standing here preaching to you something I've not experienced in my own life. My own daughter, who's back in the kids class. After I preached a tent meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, she was only 2 years old at the time. She was our only child. And I shared that testimony with you about how the doctors She went after the meeting. I mean, she was the most lively little girl you'd ever see, running around, having so much fun. But after I went after souls, we fed over 1,000 families. We saw people healed. We saw people saved. I mean, impacting the community. But when the meeting's over, my daughter's lifeless. Eyes rolling in the back of her head. Had to carry her everywhere. I didn't know what was going on. We got back to our home. The doctor said, oh, Mr. Shuttlesworth, it doesn't look good. She has a blood disease. Gave me a bad report. Began to tell me things like this. She won't be able to exert herself like other children because any exertion will cause problems with her heart. Won't be able to play sports, won't be able to run around, play like other kids, and she'll have to have heart medication and heart checkups every year. This blood disease will affect the whole well-being of her life. Now, you have a choice when you come into those situations. You can either believe the report of the Lord or the report of the world. You got to make up in your mind that I will believe the report of the Lord. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. My decisions are not based upon what's going on in the natural world. I'm not basing whether I tithe and give offerings on what the economy looks like. I don't base on whether I give to God based on what my job looks like. I don't base how I decide to go where God calls me to go based on what the military conditions are in the nation he's called me to go preach in. People think you're crazy when you get ready to go preach in a third world country and they tell you, you got to go get some shots. And you say, I ain't getting the shots. Why? Because either God can keep me safe or I'll go home to be with him. But if I go home to be with him early and some disease killed me, you better believe I'll have a conversation with a guardian angel and he will not be happy when I'm done. Where were you on that one? No, either God can keep you or he can't keep you. Either he's strong or he's not strong. Either he's mighty or he's not mighty. Either his power is sufficient to save or it's not. But I made up in my mind, let God be true and every man a liar. Let me read you something. In this country, we need to, listen, you need to go into your computer on whatever program you've got, Microsoft Word, and you need to print this verse of scripture off in size 72 point font and magnet it to your refrigerator, your car, and into your bathroom mirror, so no matter where you go, it's in your eyes everywhere you go. This verse, I'm getting ready to read you from Jeremiah 17. It needs to be in your heart. Because our nation has become a nation of soft Christians. We've got too many options. We've got too many governmental programs, too many hospitals, too much welfare, and we've begun to depend on other things other than God. The people tell me, they say, well, brother, look at how God's moving in those third world nations. They must really have faith. No, they don't have health care. They don't have hospitals. They don't have welfare. It's either trust God or die. And when you make up your mind, God's going to be my source. Your faith better work. 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, and in doing so turns his heart away from the Lord. The moment you start trusting in men rather than God, the Bible says God's not just disappointed. He said a curse comes on your life because you now have said man has more power to help me than God has. Man has more ability to provide for me financially than God has. Man can help me by prescription medication. Man can help me by a counseling session. Man can help me by being a good therapist in my life rather than God. I know this ruffles the feathers of the religious groups of America, but I came to tell somebody before Jesus comes back, it's time to see a mighty revival of people who trust God. Somebody shout, I trust him. He said, cursed is the man. Cursed, not disappointed in, cursed. He said, and when you trust in men rather than me, you've turned your heart away from the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Why is that? Because two verses will explain why this is true. In the book of Romans, the Bible says, anything that is not of faith is sin. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we start to understand that if we're doing anything that doesn't take faith in God, God's displeased. And if it's not done in faith, according to Romans, it's done in sin. Oh my God. It hits all of us home in our bellies when we have to go back and take stock of our life and say, did I trust him? Did I trust his word? Did I trust his spirit? And my wife and I, we said, I prayed very plainly to the Lord. You know, I think God likes it when we just get honest. And I said, Lord, one of two things is going to happen in this hospital. Either we're going to have a miracle or you just lost a preacher. Because I'm not going to travel this world and tell people about a healer who won't even heal in my own house. I told you this, when you've got a faucet in your kitchen and you put a cup underneath, if you're still too, you know, if you're still good, that you're not too good to drink water out of the tap. Back when I was growing up, we played sports outside, and if we got thirsty, we tapped a neighbor's hose. Tastes like metal and everything else. You better hope the dog hadn't been around there. But if you put that glass under the sink, turn that faucet on and the water flow begins, what's the first thing that gets wet? The faucet. And if God's called me to be a faucet to deliver the power to his people, then I should be the first thing getting wet by his power. If I'm not getting wet by his power, I got to start questioning, am I actually a faucet of God? Oh, Paul said this, I hadn't even fully preached the gospel to you until I've demonstrated the power of God. Jesus said to John's disciples, if you don't believe my message, believe my works, because they prove that I'm the son of the Almighty God. And so, my wife and I said, we're done with this. She will not have a heart disease. She will not have a blood disease. She will not be on medication the rest of her life. No, sir. No. So what do? We begin fasting and praying, and we pulled the oil out. We put the oil on her little two-year-old head. I prescribed that. The doctors did not prescribe it. I didn't find it on her clipboard. Anointing oil, it ain't on there. But we anointed her. The power of God came on the little body. The doctor ran in the room. He said, well, I got to take more blood tests. I said, take some more. And they couldn't even, her veins, they couldn't even find her veins to get blood out. It's a whole different level when you're praying for somebody that's close to you versus when you're praying for somebody you don't know. And see, the devil does everything he can in these situations to lie to your mind and tell you that the reason this is happening is because you're not a good enough Christian. He did it to me. Came right in the hospital room and began to whisper in my ear, oh, it's your daughter, huh? Thought you were a miracle man. Thought you were a Holy Ghost preacher. Thought you carried the power of God. That's the kind of stuff the devil says to you. When you're dealing with a battle that you're trying to win by faith, he tries to make you feel like the reason you're dealing with it is because you aren't right. But the devil's a liar. I said the devil's a liar. Hear me. If an attack, listen to me. If an attack meant there was something wrong with you, then there was something wrong with Jesus. Because Jesus was also attacked. And Jesus won every battle. He never failed. He was never taken out by the enemy. Anytime the enemy reared his head up at Jesus, Jesus took the mighty word of God and pounded it back down into the ground. It is written. We anointed, they came back in. Now the next time he came back in, he had two other people with him. Now they're looking around, checking the machines. I knew something was getting ready to go down. You know, it's starting to get different when they're starting to bring an entourage into the room. And they're looking at the machines. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Mr. Shelsworth, they got to take some more tests. I said, take more tests. They took them. Now they got students with clipboards coming in with them. They got a whole group now. And then finally, by the end, he came to me and said, man, I don't know what to tell you. All I can say is I can't diagnose her with anything. And we got to send her home with a clean bill of health. We can't find the disease anymore in the bloodstream. I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. And what God said he will do. Is there any sick among you? Call on the elders of the church. They'll anoint them with oil. He said, the Lord will raise him up. The Lord will raise him up. Did you notice there's a part for everybody to play? Those that need a touch are to call. The elders are to anoint. The prayers are to pray. And the Lord does the raising. Everybody's got a part. But the end result is a miracle. So number one, the anointing oil carries the power to destroy sickness and disease and demonic oppression. Tonight when we anoint you with oil, if you've been suffering with depression and anxiety, panic attacks, can't sleep, antidepressants, taking medication, it's coming to an end tonight in Jesus' name. I said it comes to an end tonight in Jesus' name. Sickness or disease been attacking your body? You've been having chronic issues year after year after year. Tonight when we anoint you with oil, pray the prayer of faith. It comes to an end tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I said tonight. Number two, the anointing oil carries the power to consecrate, separate, and keep something holy. Which means your children don't have to look like everybody else's kids. My goodness. I want you to just declare this by faith out of your mouth. My children will never be addicted to pornography. My children will never be found overdosed in a drug house. My children will not be carried out by the coroner from a school shooting. My children will never be the victim of human trafficking. My children will never be alcoholics. My children will never be addicted to nicotine. My children will not get yoked up with some knucklehead that all they want is sex, using my kid because they're holy and set apart unto God. My children will look different than everybody else's children. My children will be head and shoulders above the rest. I'm talking about consecrated, set apart, holy unto God. You know what carries the power to do it? The anointing oil. I'm going to read it to you. When God spoke to Moses what to do with this oil, in Exodus 30, he began to tell him how to make it, and then he said this. He said, take this oil and use it to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table, and all its utensils, the lampstand, and all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the wash basin with its stand. Now look at verse 29 of Exodus 30. Verse 29. Consecrate them to make them absolutely holy. When we anoint you and your family tonight, we are consecrating you, setting you apart from this world system to be completely holy unto God. Now watch, this is powerful. Look at the next part of this one verse. After this, whatever touches them will also become holy. Who my kids touch, get touched. Who my grandkids will touch, will get touched. Who I touch will become touched by the power of God. When you carry the anointing, whoever you touch will get a touch. Peter and John had just got filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost came from heaven. Tongues of fire sat upon their head and they all began to speak with other tongues. And in Acts chapter 3, they're headed up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And they find a lame man that's by the gate begging for alms. I heard one preacher say once, he was begging for alms and got legs. Amen. He was sitting there lame, could not walk. And he's looking at these two men, expecting to receive something from them. And they said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Let me stop right there. Peter and John recognized that they had something in them that could be given away at will. And when I give it to you, what comes out of me will get into you and change those legs around. Because I received something on the day of Pentecost. It was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Let me use one of these waters quickly. I want to show you something. Never again think of yourself as some old sinner saved by grace. You are not some filthy old human that God decided to just pour a little of his blessing on. No. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, a substance has come into your body. This is why sinners can't lay their hands on the sick and see them recover. It's because although we're both human beings, there's now something in my body that makes me superhuman. Y'all don't hear what I'm preaching tonight. But I'm no longer merely human because earth is no longer my home. I'm more alien than I am human because heaven is now my home. In fact, my spirit is already seated in heavenly places with Christ. I'm not under a curse. I'm over the curse. Somebody say, I'm not under the curse. I'm over the curse. So what happened is when the Holy Ghost came to Jesus in Luke chapter 3, when he got baptized, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened to Peter and John on the day of Pentecost? They got filled with a substance. We see this happen in Mark chapter 5. The woman with the issue of blood, she presses through the crowd. She's got a hemorrhaging in her body. She's losing blood for 12 years. Spent all she had on doctors. Couldn't get better. Got worse. But she said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she snuck up behind him in the crowd and grabbed his garment. Jesus felt it. He spun around and said, who touched me? And the disciple thought he lost his mind. I said, look at this crowd. They're all pressing in to touch you. Talking about who touched you. He said, no. Somebody touched me by faith. And here's why. Because I felt virtue go out of my body. I felt supernatural substance leave my body. It's the same substance Peter and John knew they had received on the day of Pentecost. Such as I have, I will give to you. See, if you could see in the supernatural realm, Pastor, hold out your hand like this. If you could see in the supernatural realm, if I was an unregenerated person, a sinner, and I came up here and laid my hands on him, when I was done and left, nothing has changed. Because I've got nothing to give him. But when I get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a substance in me that when I lay hands and I'm gone, I left something behind. I got a substance in my body called the power of the Holy Ghost, the Zoe life of God. Some people think eternal life starts when you get to heaven. Eternal life is a substance that gets poured into your body in the moment that you get filled with the Holy Ghost and receive Jesus as your Savior. And when we lay hands on you tonight and anoint you with oil, substance is coming into your house. When we bought our first house, people thought we were probably nuts. First thing I did was grab a bottle of oil and anoint every room. Pow! Living room belongs to Jesus. Bedroom belongs to Jesus. Garage belongs to Jesus. Attic belongs to Jesus. And we prayed this prayer, God, whoever comes in this house, as soon as they step over the threshold of my door, whatever they were being harassed with, I command it to stay outside in the mighty name of Jesus. If they got turmoil in their mind, having relationship issues, crying, lost stuff. And you ask my wife, one after another, people come in, want to come talk with us, counsel with us. They come in all tore up emotionally, having issues. They come in our house, sit on our couch. And they'd say, oh, it feels so peaceful in here. And before you knew it, they were done crying, all that. And before you know it, they're asleep on the couch. Asleep. I started to realize after that why you see people sleeping in church. I was preaching. Don't y'all act like you never fell asleep in church before. You know when it's real hard, you know, and you're trying your best to stay awake, but you have it. You know, you have one of those moments and you're hoping nobody saw it. And then you have a real hard one, but you got to play it off like you were just really agreeing with the pastor. Amen. Amen. He knows what he's talking about. He's preaching the truth. Amen. Try to duplicate it. That's it. He preaching today. And I was preaching. I thought I was doing a good job. And I look right here in the second row. And there's a guy. You know, some people, when they try to hide that they've been sleeping. This guy wasn't even trying to hide it. He had both arms crossed, chin to chest, and snoring away. Sitting right here. And I thought, my God, I know I'm not the best preacher in the world, but I'm better than that. I said, how could he come in here? I started getting mad. How's he coming into God's house? Listen to this preacher preach, falling asleep, got no respect. Then I looked one chair over and saw his wife. I was like, oh, this is the only rest he gets all week. Some people have been in turmoil for so long, they forgot what peace feels like. Some people have had issues for so many years that when they come in the presence of God, they forgot how good it felt to have peace. This and that thing hits them, peace that passes all understanding, and turmoil has to go, and all these issues in their mind have to shut up, and all the things in their body have to die down, and they sit there in peace, peace, wonderful peace. And you begin to realize when you get into the presence of the Lord, there's peace here. There's joy in here. Depression can't stay in here. Fear can't stay in here. Panic can't stay in here. Sickness can't stay in here. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In His presence is fullness of joy. And when you anoint with oil, you're consecrating that one, making them holy and setting them apart. Everybody say the word holy.
Holy.
Can I give you two great benefits of that holy life? In the book of Job, chapter 36 and verse 11, God speaks to Job. You know what he says? He said, if they would only obey and serve me, they would spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. If they would only obey and serve me, they would spend their years in pleasures, their days in prosperity. What? He said, it's not a 27-step process. You don't need to read my book on it. Just obey and serve me. Days in prosperity, years in pleasures. When you are consecrated and set apart as holy, and you have that holy lifestyle moving, working in your life, God said in Psalm 84 and verse 11, I won't withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. What is it? It's the covenant of holiness I have with Him. It draws the financial blessing of God into my life. Oh, say, brother, riches are not a sign of holiness. No, riches are not, but riches without sorrow are. There's a lot of people rich, hanging themselves in 5-star hotel rooms. You hear me? A lot of people got their names on a handbag, but can't stand living. Because riches are not a sign that you're spiritual, but riches without sorrow are. Proverbs 10:22, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow unto it. You do the studies for yourself. These people that win these multi-million lotteries, they do studies and find out within 2 years they're bankrupt, addicted to drugs, and nobody will speak to them. Because let me tell you something. When you win $150 million, every cousin you never knew you had comes out of the woodwork. Hey, man, remember me from the family reunion? We used to hang out. You remember we used to play basketball together? Man, I need some money. You got some money, man? No, I can't help you. I can't help you. Family won't speak to him. Divorce happened. Children won't speak to him. Addicted to drugs. Because let me tell you something. The blessing that just came into their life took them to a place where their character can't keep them. But the blessing of the Lord makes rich but adds no sorrow. It's a different kind of riches. It's the kind of riches where you can be blessed financially and go to work and not have to worry all day that your wife is having sex with the pool boy back home before you get there. I'm preaching real tonight. But when you consecrate yourself holy, set apart by God, then the blessing begins to flow. Number two, the consecration of the holy lifestyle, the covenant you have with God, it brings protection on your family. God desires to make a distinction with his children. He wants you to look much different than the world. Much different. You go all the way back to the Old Testament. They didn't have as good of a covenant as we have. The Bible says we have a better covenant established on better promises. So anything I can see in the old, what I got's much better. In fact, I'll say it like to you like this. Jesus said this about John the Baptist. He said, of all the saints in the Old Testament, none was greater than John the Baptist. But then he made another statement. But the least in the kingdom is far greater than he is. You know what that means? John the Baptist was much greater than Elijah, Moses, Abraham, or all of them. He said, but the least one in the kingdom, that means those that are in the New Testament church that got saved under the blood of Jesus, the least one is far greater than John the Baptist. Some of y'all, the devil tries to tell you, well, you're an insignificant part of the body. Nobody even cares that you're alive. Might as well take your life. The devil tries to steal your identity and your worth. And he tries to make you feel like you're an insignificant part of the body. Let me just encourage you tonight. There is no insignificant part of the body. And if you think there is, when you get home tonight, grab a hammer, take your shoe off, and smash your pinky toe and see how insignificant that part of your body is. Grab some needle nose pliers and rip the nail off the toe and see how insignificant. Well, I don't need that pinky nail. Rip it off, see if you need it. There's no insignificant part of God's body. Amen. And all the way back in Exodus chapter 11, he's getting ready to take them out, and he said, I'm going to send a death angel. Let me tell y'all something. The death angel didn't come from hell. It came from heaven. This is going to screw some people up right now. Our God is a killer. Go back on YouTube and watch A.A. Allen preach it back in 1952 in London, England. And he said, our God is a killer. Look, when God pronounces judgment, it is good and holy. We've gotten so deep into the greasy grace message, we don't even understand how good judgment is anymore. But when God pronounces a judgment, it's a good thing. It's a holy thing. Wow, it got real quiet in here. Did I get in on your favorite doctrine? Let me help you. We've gotten into a generation right now. I'm talking about consecrated, being holy, set apart. We've got into a lie that's been spewed to us in this generation that nothing we do matters. You can go grind up in the club on a Saturday night and show up in church on Sunday and sing on the platform in the same outfit you were grinding in on Saturday night. And God don't care because it's more about what he did than what you do. That's a lie from heaven, from hell. The heavenly message that God gave to his church is this, that you have to be holy even as I am holy. You've got to be set apart even as I am set apart. You've got to stand up and be righteous and be counted for God. I'm drawing a line in the sand and asking you a question today. Who is on the Lord's side? We've got it in this generation. They're telling millennials and everybody else. Well, brother, it doesn't matter what you do. It's not about you. It's about what he did. God doesn't look at you based on you. He looks at you through the lens of Jesus and sees Jesus. Let me tell you something. If that's true, because they'll teach you, they'll tell you in this generation, he doesn't look at your actions or your deeds. He looks at his blood over your life. Let me ask you a question. If that's true, why did Jesus himself show up in the book of Revelation to the churches and say, I have seen your deeds, and if you don't clean up your act, I'll come back here and pull your candlestick out from among the churches? You know, Jesus didn't say, now look, I've seen the way that you've fallen away from your love for me, and I just want you to know that your Father sees you through me, and it doesn't matter what you're doing, and it doesn't matter if you're a cold Christian. No, God said, if I see somebody that's even lukewarm, makes me vomit. What happened up in here? It got super Pentecostal tonight. You know what? Let me tell you what church, let me tell you what TV preaching has done. And I'm not against everybody that's on TV. I'm just saying, like, we've got this message that has become popular. You know why it's become popular on TV? Because we people know that if you preach that kind of a message, it lends itself to better offerings. People are preaching for money rather than preaching for the Lord. They're preaching for an offering, and they're not looking for a harvest of souls. So they'll tell you whatever makes you feel good enough to run to the phone and sow an $832 seed for John 8:32, because there's a blessing coming from this $832 seed. But I'm preaching for some people to get to heaven by the time this thing's done. I want you to know, it's not about listening to this. I'm listening to this stuff, and this is the kind of stuff you'll hear now. I came to tell somebody tonight, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what actions you've taken. It does not matter the crap that you found yourself in. I tell you, it's a perfect time for a turnaround. God's going to take you from where you are and bless you no matter what you do. That ain't the Bible. I said, that ain't the Bible. You can get a good preacher voice on and hoop and holler and run around the building if you want, but it's still not truth. God said, I'll hold back no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added. If they'll only obey and serve me, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But I might be a little old school, but I still believe you got to be holy. Just want y'all to know, I can't get with this where preachers are in here preaching on a Sunday and Sunday night out getting drunk at the table with their friends. Thanks for the shouts. I'm still trying to be sober and vigilant. You go back to the green room behind there, there ain't no mirrors with lines of cocaine on it. I got to get extra Holy Ghost to preach to them tonight. Whoa! You laugh like it ain't going on. It's going on. I said it's going on behind the scenes, and there's a judgment getting ready to come, and people that used to be in high places are getting ready to come down, because God won't put up with this forever. He's going to rip the veil back and said, I told you to be holy. To whom much is given, much is required. God's looking for some holy people set apart unto him. Makes some people mad because they want to keep doing whatever they want to do. There's a way that seems right unto a man. Let me tell you, that's why the Bible tells us that this path we're on, it's a narrow path. It's straight. Didn't say everybody find it, said few there be that find it. You know why? Because everybody wants a drive-through style Christianity. Yay! Where they don't actually have to commit to coming in and sitting down. They just want to shoot through for 55 minutes on a Sunday morning. I'll take a Big Mac and a blessing to go. Quick, 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 quick. We spend hours. We spend hours doing things. Give our time. We binge watch Netflix. and get upset if the church service goes more than 2 hours. My God, he better hurry up and wrap it up, because I got a roast in the oven, and if it dries out, I won't be back to church for 3 weeks. People are wondering, why is my family falling apart? How come kids aren't serving God? Because we've taught them there's other stuff more important than the presence of God. Pastor, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to make it on Sunday. Johnny's got travel baseball. You know how it is, travel baseball. Johnny can't even throw the ball to third base. You think he's going to Major League Baseball? He ain't going nowhere. Staying out of church to go on some little travel team. And then you're mad when Johnny got a girl pregnant at 16. Because we taught him church is less important than travel baseball. I'm preaching in here tonight. I wish somebody would help me. See, I came up where I told my coaches, I was on a state championship basketball team. I got the ring with the diamonds to prove it. I marched my little 16-year-old self into the court, and I said, Coach, you can schedule all the practices and games, anything you want to on a Wednesday night, but I go to church, and so you're not going to see me here at practice. He said, if that's the case, I'm going to penalize you, which they're not supposed to do. He said, but when you show up at every other practice, you're going to have to run 50 laps before we even start practice. If you skip on a Wednesday, I said, baby, I'll be in better shape than everybody else, but I'm gonna honor God first and basketball comes second. I'm telling you, you can see I ain't in the NBA tonight. I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Letting kids stay home and do what they want because they turn 15 years old. As long as you're under this roof and you ain't paying this mortgage, you'll get your behind dressed and come into church, because I ain't having heathen in my house. It's time to take a generation back for Jesus. Who do you think you're talking to? Who does my kid think he's talking to? Who does my child think he's talking to? I'm telling you something. I'm Pentecostal by practice, brother. I'll have my kids talking in tongues before they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Just with the belt. They'll be praying for forgiveness. Who do you think you're talking to? That's your mother. You don't talk to your mother like that. Who you think you're talking? You don't talk to your father like that. It's time to bring some authority back. But before the authority comes back, the anointing got to get back. I'll tell y'all something. If you can't have authority over your house, you can't have authority over the devil. That's why they said in this book, if you're going to be a leader in the church, if you're going to be a deacon, elder, or bishop, you got to first be somebody who runs your own house well and got kids that respect and obey you. Because if you can't run your house, you can't run the house of God. You ain't going to never see me at the mall with my little kid on a leash. Buddy, I got a leash, and so did my father. It was called a laser eye. He could be preaching. I'm acting up over here. Pow! He shoot me one look. I repented of every sin, even sins I didn't commit. I was praying, oh God. I was repenting for other people's sins. Jesus! Ah! He was in those services. You remember that? My God. We've let authority run out the door. And we've let a generation go to hell. Because we won't stand up. Well, we want to give them room to be individuals. You ain't an individual. You're my child. Well, we want to give them freedom to express themselves. You ain't expressing yourself in my house. I'm going to teach you how to express until you're mature enough to express on your own. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, he won't depart. I was 16 years old and thought I had gotten big enough to be a man. I was big old basketball playing boy. Thought I was feeling myself. I was coming up out of the basement, about 6'1". And I heard my mom say, "You need to take out this trash." And before I even thought what I was saying, I said, "I ain't doing that." I heard the chair of my father push back from the table before I even got up the stairs of the basement. I could already feel the depression setting into my spirit. I rounded the corner and two authority-filled hands grabbed this shirt. I was a big old 190-pound boy, and all of a sudden my feet were leaving the ground. I thought, is the rapture taking place? It was a different kind of rapture. My father had me in two hands, and I saw fire in his eyes. He brought me across the room. I felt my back press up against the cabinets. I thought it was my mom I was talking to. But when he spoke, I understood what he meant. He said, "If you ever speak to my wife," it went from being my mom to his wife. It was a whole nother level. He said, "If you ever speak to my wife like that again, we will finish this fight." Something had taken place. I felt a warm liquid running down my leg. I didn't know what it was. I felt fear for the first time for real. I thought you were my father. Oh. I felt authority. I felt authority. And it snapped me back in line. Authority will snap you back in line. People so worried today about CPS. Shoot, let CPS show up at my house. I'll put them over the bed. Get up to my room, Child Protective Services. We're going to have a talk. Don't come out of that room until I tell you to come out. We've become more worried about what the world thinks than what the Lord thinks. I'm just going to tell y'all, people marvel. When you walk in authority, it makes people shake their head. It shakes them out of a fog. Because people haven't seen authority in a while. But the power of God is all done by a delegated authority. If you let things run rampant, then the devil can also run rampant. You let things just run in and out, do whatever they want, say whatever they want. You teach, you know, they teach, even in business, they tell you, you teach others how to treat you by how you act with what they do. Let me tell you, that was first true in the spirit realm. You teach the devil how much room he can have in your house. And when he sticks that ugly head up, Jesus taught him in Luke chapter 4 how much he could spend time. And every time the devil came in and tried to spend time messing with Jesus' mind, Jesus would snap right back. It is written. And the power of the anointing will set you apart from others. And when the death angel came through town, God said, "I'm going to make a distinction. My kids are going to look a whole lot different than Egypt's kids. Put the blood on your door. I got a whole book on it out there you need to get before you go. Blood on the door. The protective power of covenant." He said, every person who the blood is on your door. Can I share something with you to blow your mind? I was preaching for a pastor, a friend of mine, who loves studying the Hebrew language, teaches his church the Hebrew. What I didn't know that he taught me was that every letter in the Hebrew alphabet is not just a letter. It actually has a meaning, and it has word associations that go with each letter. And I was telling him about this book I was writing, Blood on the Door. He said, it was already at the printer. I wished he'd have waited or told me earlier so I could have put it in the book. I didn't have time. He said, can I share something with you that'll stir your mind? He said, when they took the blood of the lamb and they painted the doorpost, he said, have you ever seen a Jewish person that wears that Jewish letter around their neck on a necklace? And it's the letter Chet. I guess that's how you say it, like you have a hairball. Chet. It is the eighth letter of the Jewish alphabet. It looks like a square with no bottom. And he said, "What? I just finished teaching this to my church." He said, that letter, hey, the eighth letter, it actually has the word picture or the word meaning life and new beginnings. He said, which is why the Jewish people wear it on a necklace. It means life and new beginnings. He said, but what you don't realize is when they would have dipped that blood on the hyssop and painted the doorpost of their home, they would have actually painted that eighth letter. And when the death angel came through, he said, they got life and new beginnings. I can't touch this house. And when the blood of Jesus is on the doorposts of your home, when the devil comes down your neighborhood block and sees your house, he can't come inside or touch your family, because you've got life and new beginnings. And the Bible says that death angel came strolling through town. And the prophecy was this: every firstborn of Egypt will die. Even the firstborn of Pharaoh himself, all the way down to the lowliest servant girl, her son will die. Not only that, the firstborn of even the animals will die. But he said, there will be a wail, a scream in the whole land that goes up so loud that none will ever be heard like it again. But among my people, it will be so quiet, not even a dog will bark. It's in the word. I said, it's in the word. He said, not even a dog. It'll be so calm. You know, he said, and then you will know that God has made a distinction between his people and the people that oppose him. And when the blood of Jesus is on your life, God wants your house looking completely different than everybody else's house. Doesn't want you looking the same. If you've got a redeemer, your life shouldn't look the same as someone who doesn't have a redeemer. If you've got a healer, I look different with somebody without a healer. If I've got a provider, I look different than somebody without a provider. If I got somebody who brings me peace, I look different than somebody with no redeemer. A distinction. Everybody say a distinction. And number three and finally, before we pray, when the anointing oil touches your life, the Bible says that a supernatural strength of anointing and purpose comes upon you. What I call the force of power for purpose. The Bible says that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, Saul was so screwed up that God chose another king of Israel. His name was David. But the prophet Samuel didn't know it was David yet, because the Lord just told him, take your horn of oil and travel to Jesse's house. Jesse had 8 sons. And when he got there, now can I show you something? Because if you think that you don't have the credentials to be great for God, then you need to think again. Because I want to show you that David was a nobody. I'm not just talking about that people in the area didn't know who he was before this point. I want to tell you that not even his father believed in him. Because when Jesse heard the prophet's coming to your house, because the new king of Israel's coming from your line, you know what the father did? Called in his 7 oldest sons and left David out in the field. You know what he was saying? David ain't king material. Leave that. He's just, I don't know what his deal is. He's out there writing psalms and singing on his harp and writing little songs with his little Jewish afro, with his little skinny jeans and messenger bag. Little hipster David out there. I don't know what his deal is. Talking to sheep and everything else. Don't bring him in here. He ain't king material. Father didn't even believe in him. And Samuel comes in and looks at these big, handsome boys. Oh, it's got to be this one. God said, nope. Got to be this one. He's a warrior. Nope. This went through all 7, and none of them were the king. He said, don't you have any other sons? Oh, well, you know, I do have one other son, but man, he's out. You don't want to see him. I mean, he's crazy. He doesn't call him. And he said this, we will not sit down to eat until he has arrived. You know why that's the case? Because you don't sit down until the king comes in the room. And David came walking in, and God said to Samuel, this is the one. This is the one. Somebody say, this is the one. And Samuel took out his horn of oil as God instructed him. And the Bible says, verse 13 of 1 Samuel 16, as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil that he'd brought and anointed David with the oil. Now watch this. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Before his anointing moment, the power had not come upon him. But when he, see, this is what happens. When you are anointed with oil by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of God comes mightily upon your life. And whatever he's called you to do will quickly begin to spring forth. It was less than a chapter later that an evil spirit troubled Saul's mind. And one of his men said, you should call for a harp player to play when you're feeling that way. He said, yeah, find me one that can play skillfully on the harp. One of the other guys said, hold up, we don't even have to search. I know somebody like that. It is David from Jesse's house. His reputation already had started preceding him. So that the moment somebody said skillful harp player, they said David. They said best golfer ever. They said Tiger Woods. They said best basketball player ever. Michael Jordan, I don't care what you say. 6 rings, baby. He ain't ever lost in the finals. I'm talking about Michael Jordan. A reputation that precedes you, goes out in front of you. Best rapper of all time, Will Smith. No, I'm kidding. Okay. It was Jazzy Jeff. No. And when they said skillful harpist, they said it's David. Bring him out. And we got right into Saul's court. And when the evil spirit started working, he just played. He didn't even sing. He just played. And that anointing that come powerfully upon him would disperse that evil spirit. Had to run out the back door. I mean, I could preach this thing, man. David had so much power on his life that the evil spirit that now was controlling Saul couldn't stand it. Oh, my God. You got to be discerning about who's in your life. Can I tell you something? You got to watch very close. Everybody that seems nice ain't the one for you. Guys, I don't care how good she looks in skinny jeans. She may not be for you. Check one thing. Is she saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? See, because David came up upon Saul's daughter and said, she is fine. He said, what will be given to the one that kills Goliath? Oh, he can marry the king's daughter. Pow, give me some stones. I'm going right now. But see, the Bible says Saul began to pursue David because he got jealous of the anointing. And you know what the Bible says? While he's sitting at dinner, he couldn't even stand looking at his face and picked up a javelin and threw it at him at the table. And he had to move out of the way. It stuck in his chair. But Saul couldn't kill him with spears. David brings the ark back to Jerusalem when he becomes king. He's dancing before the Lord with all his might. And his wife, Saul's daughter, is looking down from her window. Bible says despised him in her heart. And see, he goes up into the room after he brings the anointing back to the city, expecting to get some, you know, hugs and love from his wife. Oh, you did such a good job. Look at you, David. That's my man's right there. She didn't say that. She hit him with some heavy duty sarcasm. He came in, probably trying to, girl, you saw what I just did. And she's over there in the corner. Mm-hmm. And she said, didn't the king look so dignified today? Dancing in his underwear for all the servant girls to see. See, we read it in the King James. We miss the whole story because it's all romanticized like it's Shakespeare. Read it in a newer translation. You'll find out David fought with his wife the same way us husbands still fight today. And he got all irritated at what she said. And he immediately had to bring the in-laws into the fight. He said, girl, in case you hadn't noticed, the Lord has anointed me above your father and his family. In case you hadn't seen, your dad done gone crazy and lost the throne. And you're looking at God's man. Let me show y'all something. In that chapter, 2 Samuel 6, the Bible talks about her 3 times. Not once does it call her David's wife. All three times it calls her Saul's daughter. Because even though she was married to David, she had the spirit of Saul. And even though Saul couldn't kill him with javelins and spears, she started throwing emotional spears. Because if the devil can't kill you physically, he'll try to kill your praise. And he'll try to kill your spirit. I came to tell you, when the anointing oil comes upon your life, you are uncursable. Yes. Shout yes. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to close right here. And the anointing stayed on him. All the fights David had been in, you'd have thought he'd have died honorably in battle somewhere. But he couldn't be killed. I got to show you this. Because see, when that anointing's on your life, see, praise, the anointing is really stirred up by praise. David was a man of praise. That's an anointing that God loves. Loves it. Loves it. He said, they recounted God's words in Acts 13:22. He said, David is a man after my own heart. Here's a man that will do what my heart desires. David had issues. Yes, he did. But you know why God still called him a man after his own heart? Because David prayed prayers like this. Lord, renew within me a right heart. Right spirit with him. You know what he said? Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't cast me out of your presence. God said, here's a man who loves my presence. He's got a repentant heart. I can't give up on him. Watch this. David knew he found the way with this anointing. He found the way to always leverage the heart of God on his behalf. Always. Always. And this is how he did it. Read through the Psalms. If you read 5 Psalms a day, every month you'll read Psalms. And he said stuff like this. I mean, David could pray prayers that today would blow people's minds. You know, David needs to read some Joseph Prince because he ain't walking in love. David prayed prayers like this in Psalm 3. He would say this, God, my enemies are surrounding me, oh God, and so I'm asking you today, this is a very religious prayer, I'm asking you today, Father God, strike them on their cheekbone and shatter the teeth of the wicked. And you know, God never argued with him. He said, you know what, that's a prayer I can get with right there. And you know what he would do? He would come down, just strike them on their cheek and shatter the teeth of the wicked. And David would say stuff like this. I love this, man, because it shows you how much he knew the heart of God. He'd say stuff like this. Oh God, my enemies have surrounded me, oh God. They've come to kill me. They've got spears, swords, and javelins, oh Lord. They're surrounding my city. They're going to deliver my soul unto death. My soul will go down into death. But then he'd say this. But Lord, if they kill me, who will praise you? He'd say, can my dust praise you from Sheol? I don't think so. So you better keep me alive so I can keep praising you. And God said, you know what? He's right. I'm not going to let praising people perish. I won't let praising people perish. I won't let praising people perish. Somebody jump on your feet in this house and give God some praise that he's worthy of. I won't let praising people perish. Lift up your voice. Oh! The anointing on his life leveraged the heart of God. God said, I'm going to come upon you so mightily, they won't be able to deny you wherever you go. Nowhere. You'd have thought with all David fought, he'd have died in battle. He died in old age, not of an injury, not because he was cut down on the battlefield, because God won't let praising people perish. Oh, they couldn't take him out. I said they couldn't take him out. His praise was too much. When you ensure, listen, when you make sure you're constantly praising God, you ensure his spirit is always enveloping you. For God inhabits the praises of his people. His spirit is where his praises are. I'm going to say this to you. The anointed one, whose name is Jesus, according to Psalms, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. The picture we see in the New Testament that mirrors 2 Samuel 6 when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem is when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Can I tell you something? They were pulling him into his purpose. Jesus didn't necessarily even want to go. He prayed in the garden and said, if there's any other way, Lord, let it be. Don't. He said, let this cup pass from me if there's any other way to do this. His flesh didn't want to. But let me tell you something. As he came into Jerusalem, they were sucking him into his destiny. You know why? They lined up on the road and began to praise him. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And as they praised him, they pulled his presence into the city, because God inhabits the praises of his people. He said, if you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. I made up in my mind that there's not going to be a time when nature has to take my place in praising the Most High God. My mouth will continually be filled with his praises. Tonight, when we lay our hands upon you, if you're battling in your mind or in your body, the anointing oil takes care of every harassing force. When we pray for your family tonight, whatever it was that was going to pull your family apart, whatever it was that was going to suck your kids out of serving God, is going to loose its grip tonight in Jesus' name. And your kids will be supernaturally protected, supernaturally blessed. Your family, the hand of God will be upon it. Finally, as we lay our hands upon you tonight, anoint you with oil. The power for your purpose is coming mightily upon you tonight. Corinne, lift your hands. Take two steps forward. I saw the anointing of God come upon you. A new anointing has fallen upon you this week. I mean strong, strong. I've seen it come upon you. I've seen it fall on you every night. God has put a new, I just hear it this way, a fierce anointing. A fierce anointing. The lion's anointing. It's fierce. And obviously, as you're ministering to people, I hear the Lord telling you that manifestations of his power are going to be so evident that it'll blow the minds of natural men and women. Signs, wonders, miracles. Signs, wonders, miracles. Pastor Josh, take her hand, because there's a new season for both of you, and I'm going to tell you what this is. God is opening up heaven to both of your spirits, and there is a new sound of worship coming to this house that will be custom. A custom sound that came out of your spirit and her spirit. God's getting ready to give you songs in the night like you've never had. I'm talking about an influx of Holy Ghost stuff to the level that when people hear it, before hands are ever laid upon them, they'll be set free. As you sing it and play it, the power of God will go forth like it did in 1 Samuel 16. And evil spirits troubling people's mind will have to loose their grip and get out. Just by the worship and the praise that's getting ready to hit. I'm telling you, this fierce anointing, God's taking you into the most productive season in your whole ministry or life that you've ever seen. And you're going to be running at a new speed like you've never known. Oh, and I'll tell you, there's a fresh strength that's coming into your body tonight, Corinne. A new strength from heaven that's flowing from your head down through your body into your feet. It flows to every part of your body. It's like I can see the substance of God running through your bloodstream, through your veins, to every part of your body. Fresh strength from heaven. Whatever the devil had planned to harass you with, it is cut off by the power of the Holy Ghost. It is cut off by the power of the Holy Ghost. Fire of God, come upon her tonight in Jesus' name. Fresh fire. That new sound of worship, it opens wide. The floodgates of heaven open up to your soul starting this night. The word of God declared, from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. And it comes mightily upon you, and you'll begin to write and write and write and write and write. The words you begin to speak, oh, I hear it. I hear it. The Lord says, it's not just music. He said, I'm opening up His Spirit to my spirit. And not only the music will you get, but God's giving you a new spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And you'll begin to see things supernaturally you've never seen. Your eyes are being opened more than ever. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. I see the revelation gifts operating in your life and the manifestation of the revelation gifts. So expect to see with the discerning of spirits like never before. The word of knowledge like never before. The word of wisdom like never before. The discerning of spirits. It is the revelation gifts that are becoming active like never before in your life. You're going to see things before they take place. Wisdom's coming before anything happens. You'll be well prepared ahead of time. But not only that, says the Lord, I am going to begin to show you things from my word you've never ever seen. And it will be such bread for your people. Such bread. As Jesus said, the words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life. I am the bread of heaven. God said, there's fresh bread coming. Fresh bread. Fire of the Holy Ghost, come upon it. Fresh bread. Fresh bread. Fresh bread. Fresh bread. Ha, 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 ha. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Somebody just lift your hand where you're standing. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ho, rabare, tishe, se, patana. O, shtatike, barado, rokostenea. Matike, he. Varo, shatike, baraze. Kota, mamaza. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Come upon her tonight in a new measure. New measure. Step out. Lift your hands to the Lord. God said, I'm going to give you direction now. You'll not have to wonder, am I supposed to go this way or that? Is it this decision or that? Am I supposed to go here? Do I need to move? Do I need to stay where I am? Do I need to go to this part of the country or should I stay where I'm at? Is it this job? Is it that job? Is it this direction? Is it that direction? Clarity from heaven is coming into your spirit tonight. And every decision will be guided by the Holy Spirit. The steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered of the Lord. And God gives you clarity tonight. Your life will not be wasted bouncing around trying to find a purpose. Does this feel right? Does that feel right? Does this feel right? Am I supposed to be here? You will have a clear direction from the Holy Ghost from this night forward, says God. And you'll know right where to go. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon you. You'll know right where to go. Know right where to go. Hallelujah. Can I pray for you tonight? Can I? Please come. The Lord loves you. He's touching His people. Somebody press into the anointing. Lift your hands. Oh, when I was preaching, a peace came upon your heart tonight. A peace like you haven't known in a long time. I was just going back and forth, preaching, preaching, preaching. And I looked over and I saw the spirit of peace coming right over your head. The spirit of peace just came right over. And every bit of anxiety and worry and depression is out tonight. It's out in Jesus' name. It's out. It's out. It's out. Peace that passes all understanding. A joy like nobody's ever seen. Somebody say, I receive it too. I receive it too. I will have more peace and joy in 2018 than I've ever had in my life. Ever. 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 Oh, amen. Can I pray for you? Come on. Oh, Jesus loves us tonight. I said he loves us. Lift your hands. There have been people. Now this is when I say this to you, it's going to sound very general. It's going to say, oh, that's a general word. Not, but you'll know what I mean when I say it. There have been people who have affected your ability to trust and love because they've done things and betrayed your trust and did things that were hurtful to you. And it's affected your heart. And it's given you kind of almost like you felt an edge. You felt an edge that you didn't even feel like you wanted it to be there, because that's not who you are. But because of what had happened, it made that thing kind of rise up like a wall of protection, because you said, I ain't having that happen to me again. In Jesus' name, it's not happening to me again. Isn't that right? And he said, that's not who I am. I don't want that feeling of being that sharp feeling. That's not me. I'm a lovable person. But you care more because you said, I don't want to feel that pain ever again. So I'm using this as a guard. I'm going to try them out before I let them close, because they are not going to do that to me again. Isn't that right?
Yes.
But tonight God said he's giving you a new joy. And that hurt is being healed tonight. Whatever took place, it is over. It is behind you. It is gone. I saw the Lord like a prophetic sign with a big sword, just cutting off every string that held on to you, every chain that held on to you, everything that was pulling you back into the past and saying, live back here with these memories, these thoughts, these. God said, no more from tonight. I release you from that in Jesus' name. And a new joy in the Holy Ghost. A peace in God. You're moving forward in your destiny like never before. God said, I'm going to push you like a momentum's coming upon your life to run in the Holy Ghost and be supernaturally effective. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her tonight. Filled with the power of God. I take authority over every attack against your life. It shall not prosper against you. God cuts it off tonight in the name of Jesus. And I loose that peace, that new fresh joy. Oh, like never before. Oh, and I tell you, overwhelming joy comes upon you tonight. Ha ha ha. God fills your mouth with laughter and fills your tongue with singing. Fills your mouth with laughter, fills your tongue with singing. People say, "Who? What in the world? What happened to her? She's like a completely different person." That's right, baby. Jesus made it all new tonight. Oh, receive it. Jesus made it all new tonight. Come on. Yeah. Lift those hands to the Lord. If you sense that, that's the anointing of God. Something like you've never known. I'm just telling you, things are getting ready to speed up dramatically. I'm talking about fruit production, productivity in the kingdom dramatically. Amen. I just felt the gift of faith jump into my spirit to say this, and I hope you don't mind that I do. I'm trusting in your good nature. Lift your hands, both of you. Every attack or hindrance to the expansion and growth of this church, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. Every demonic attack against this vision and against this house that would try to push back against the agenda of God, I curse it in the name of Jesus Christ and command it to move out of the way. I speak this as a prophetic word, and you ask my wife, I do not do this often. Unless I hear the Lord speak, I will not say this. Any person in the city or state government that would hold back the ability for this vision to move forward, that has a corrupt and a crooked agenda to keep the presence of God out of the city, I command them to be moved out of the way tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Any person in authority that holds back permits, that holds back licenses, that holds back land and properties, that holds back zoning, in the name of Jesus, I command them to be moved out of the way tonight in Jesus' name. And I don't care how it has to be done. If God has to pull the curtain back and find out there was corruption on the city council and have everybody removed out of the way and a whole new group brought in, whatever has to be done so that God's kingdom can expand, I call it done in Jesus' name. Somebody shout yes. Let me give you a story to build your faith. My cousin and her husband have a church in Montreal, Quebec, which is one of the most godless cities in North America. And they were expanding so quickly that they couldn't stay in their building. They were having 600, 700 on Sunday morning, had to go to a larger facility. But the city government had put a moratorium on churches. No more churches in this city. No more. We will not even give you license to rent a space that's already built. No more churches. They went on a 21-day fast and said, one of their prayer points was, God, whatever is holding back the expansion of the kingdom in Montreal, move it out of the way in the name of Jesus. On the 21st day of their fast, front page news brought the story. And it was like the perfect storm on their behalf. Corruption was found on the city council. At the same time, what you have to understand is Montreal is a heavily populated Italian area. Tons of Italians. My cousin's husband is Italian. His last name is Gesualdi, the pastor of that church. The same time the corruption was found, the reporter from the paper got a hold of the story that the church couldn't get any property. The city was holding them back and did a front page article about how the Italian Christians were being discriminated against in Montreal. And everything came together and they found all kinds of financial corruption on the city council. Every one of them was moved out of the way and a brand new city council came. They are today in their brand new facility and they have all the room they need to grow and expand the kingdom of God. Don't tell God that it's impossible. For if God be for you, who can be against you? Somebody shout, who can be against me? So I call it quick. Quick expansion. Quick fruitfulness. Quick production. Whatever was holding it back is broken. It's moved out of the way. Moved out of the way. New strength of God. Ha 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 ha. A new boldness comes upon you. You're going to preach like you've never preached. You're going to preach like you've never preached. There is no timidity. There's no fear. No. Boldness of a lion. New vision like you've never had. Ha 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 ha. Lift your hands. All the way to Jamaica we go now. And we command these churches to expand in the name of Jesus Christ. I call souls in from every direction. Will you receive this tonight?
Yes.
Hear me. As God blew quail in from every direction for the children of Israel to eat, we're asking him tonight to blow souls into these churches. Blow them from the east side of Jamaica, the west side of Jamaica, the northern part, the southern part. Blow them in. A hunger like has never been seen. I'm just telling you, I feel this. Jamaica is getting ready to experience a massive revival. And I'm going to be a part of it. I'm just telling y'all right now, I'm getting in on this. I got the word, so I'm going to be a part. I don't care. I'm going. I love Jamaica. I love Jamaica, and I love Jamaicans. And I'm going. I've been there before multiple times to preach the gospel, but I'm going back because revival's coming to Jamaica. Revival's coming to the Caribbean. Can I tell you something? I hear the Lord say, these storms you saw come through that tried to wreak havoc and bring devastation all over through the Caribbean, it was the devil sensing what God's about to do. And trying to destroy ahead of time what God's getting ready to bring into fruition. And the devil cannot win. God's got a plan for the islands of the Caribbean. And revival, I prophesy, a mighty revival is coming to the Caribbean in Jesus' mighty name. Lift your hands. A new fire comes upon you to minister to God's people. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon him tonight. A new strength. I want every head to be bowed in this church right now. Every head. This is so real. It's more real than the floor you're standing on. The supernatural realm is more real than the chair you were sitting on for the last 2 hours. Hear me. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to this earth. We are living in the last moments of time. The trumpet's about to sound. The dead in Christ are about to rise. Those of us that are alive and remain that are ready are going to be caught up to meet him. If you're in this church tonight, you hear what this preacher said. If you're in this church and you don't know that you're ready to see Jesus, you don't know that your life is right with God, do not leave this church without knowing that you're ready to make heaven your home, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Don't leave without knowing. I'm going to pray a prayer in one moment. And when you pray with me, the Bible says all things are made new. So if you're standing here or sitting in your seat right now, and you know your life is not, there are things holding you back from serving God. Don't leave without knowing you're ready. If you want to pray this prayer with me now and make all things new, right where you're standing or sitting, lift your hand, hold it high, and I'm going to pray with you. I see it there. Over here in the back, over there in the back. Who else? Over there in the back. Those of you that lifted your hand as they worship, I want you to quickly get out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar. Come on. Come. Come quickly. Come on. If you raised your hand, get out and come now. Come stand here. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Come on. Anointing fall on me. Oh, oh. Come on in. God bless you. Come on. Over here, if you lifted your hand, get out and come quick. Come on in. I'll move so you can get closer. Oh, Jesus, come on. If you lifted your hand, stop waiting. Don't wait for somebody else. Come quickly. Jesus is calling. On me. Would you lift your hands all over this house? Anointing, oh, fall on me. That's what we pray. Anointing, fall on me. Come on, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Every head bowed. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to say it boldly with a loud voice. Let the Lord know you mean this tonight. You're never going back. Say, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me for my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life. Until I die, or more likely, until you come. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free tonight. And I'm never going back. To an old way of living. Now say this, devil, I'm done with you. Take your hands off my life. I belong to Jesus. And I'm God's property. And you are trespassing. I'm never coming back. Lift both hands to heaven and say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I receive your goodness. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you fill every one of them with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Use them for your glory. Touch them tonight. Now listen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.